Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Bill Michaels. Joining us now, our MLBRadio.com insider, John Heyman, stopping by. John, how you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I appreciate you hanging out with us for a couple of minutes today. I wanted to start off by asking you, I know that the commissioner had mentioned 50 games. The players have said 114 games. We all know they're going for 82 games. There's no way they're going to get a season underway for 50 games. I think it's more rhetoric than anything. But how close do you think they are to actually getting to maybe an agreement here in the next week or two?
Well, they have to get to an agreement in the next week or two. The soft deadline was yesterday, and that was soft. So that doesn't count, as you know. But they need to get a deal done sometime in the next 2 weeks, because they need to get to spring training sometime in the middle of June, and they want to start the season July 4th. Is it possible the season could be pushed back to the negotiation? I guess a little bit, perhaps, but they need to get it done. Right now, they are nowhere. I do think the 50 games or so was just posturing, just a negotiating tactic. That's not a proposal. They don't intend to propose that, and they may be unhappy with what the union proposed last time, but they both need to sit down and figure this out, because they cannot blow up the season over economics. And both sides know that. That's why I think there will be a deal, although at this moment it's hard to see it happening.
The form that it's taken, the public arguing over the money, it's economics. You're right. I mean, the players, when they said they didn't want to play because of their health and safety, and then said, well, by the way, we'll play and do this for more money, they basically put a price on themselves. So they threw the health and wellness kind of out the window. It's a secondary argument at this point, I think. Whereas the owners, they try to go back to the well and try to put, as my dad used to say on the farm, put the bank blank back in the horse. And you can't do that either. So how bad publicly do you think this is right now, if indeed this drags on?
If they don't have a season, it's going to be bad. And both sides understand that. That's why I believe they will get it done and will have a season. If they do get an agreement, however it happens, whatever public posturing there is, I think all will be forgiven and probably forgotten. We've been through a lot of negotiations that seemed ugly before. As long as they get a deal, no one worries about the rhetoric leading up to it. So that's the key. They need to get a deal done. Right now, at this point, I would say it's fair to say they've really made no progress. The owners made a proposal, a sliding scale, where the star players are hit very hard. The players did not like that at all. Players came back and, in my mind, went in the opposite direction of where they needed to go. So I'm not blaming one side or the other right now. They're not close, and they need to get close, and they need to figure it out. But baseball has a way of getting it done, at least in the last quarter century. Rob Manfred, now the commissioner, was the lead negotiator for a long time and never had a work stoppage. So I feel, I don't want to say confident, but I feel that they're going to figure it out some way, somehow.
How many teams do you think, let's just say they do get to the 82-game season, how many teams? Kansas City, obviously new ownership. The Florida Marlins aren't going to make money anyway. A small market like the Brewers depends so much on the gate, more so than many other teams do. How many teams in an 82-game season do you think either come close to breaking even or actually maybe lose money and go into the red a little bit from operating expense, not necessarily lose value, but lose money this season?
Oh, I do believe that whether they play, if they don't play, all the teams will lose money. Even if they do play, I think that if not all the teams, close to all, will still lose money. I think the owners right now are trying to mitigate those losses however they can. Whether there's some kind of a sharing of revenue to help the teams that depend so much on the fans, the attendance, I don't know what the MLB teams are going to do, but some teams, you're right, are going to be hurt worse than others. The Milwaukee Brewers, it's not just that they're a small market, it's that their gate is really good. There's a lot of enthusiasm there for the team, and they get great attendance, and they make a lot of money through the fans attending the game. That's not true of all small market teams. The Rays, the Marlins, their TV money is better than their gate money, and they also, of course, depend on revenue sharing because they do so poorly at the gate. I mean, all this needs to be worked out later, but I might be a bit of a cynic, but I do believe that the teams, by and large, I mean, there may be an exception or two, are going to lose money whether they play or not.
Talking with John Heyman, our MLBRadio.com insider. The call is brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference podcast series, available at radio.com/Dell. The minor league systems being really cut down in many different cases. The game of baseball, we know years ago there was a genuine concern about those coming up. Because basketball, you can play by yourself, you can go outside and shoot. Soccer kind of do the same, but in many different cases, baseball takes more than a couple of guys to get it together and do it. John, if they're going to eliminate opportunities, how detrimental is that in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years to the game of baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I do work at the MLB Network, so I do work for MLB. That doesn't mean I understand or agree with everything that they do. I don't quite get this one. They are going to eliminate basically one minor league team for each organization. So that's more the reason beyond the fact that it is very unlikely to have any minor league season this year. But the bigger reason for all these releases is that they're not going to be needing as many players since they're going to be eliminating up to 42 minor league teams. I'm sad about that. I started after graduating college in Chicago at the Olean Dispatch right there on the Illinois-Iowa border, and they had the Quad City Cubs. And at that time, there were a lot of fans, and people would go to the games, and they would become Cubs fans because they loved those players. They followed those players. Sean Dunston was a player at that time. That's how long ago it was with the Quad City Cubs. Went up to the Cubs, and then those fans then became Chicago Cubs fans. So, I think there is a big picture long-sighted view that says that it'd be good for baseball to have more minor league teams. So I'm saddened by that, and I'm saddened for all these minor leaguers who are getting cut in mass. I think it's sad. I understand the teams have made their choices, and they don't believe these are major league prospects. And I would say that's probably true in 90%+ of these cases. But that doesn't mean they weren't contributing to baseball. There's interest in minor league teams, and there's interest in these players. And some of these players might surprise you. You know, there are players who are late bloomers who might come up and make it to the majors, a small number certainly. But then many of these players, if they continued on and had that association with baseball, could be great teachers or coaches or joint front offices, and now their networks are cut off. And to me, it's a very small amount of money that they're saving by streamlining it. I really don't understand the whole reasoning behind it, and I do feel sorry for these players and for these communities that will be losing teams.
Do we start to see an enlarged importance on leagues like the Pioneer League, the Appalachian League, the Arizona League? We have one right in our own backyard, the Northwoods League. Do we start to see an importance put upon those leagues to continue to cultivate a lot of baseball players?
That could be. It could be. I heard talk of some of these minor leaguers maybe getting their own league together in Florida and Arizona in the fall if the health data allows it. I would like to see these players continue to try if they feel that they have a shot or they love baseball so much. So maybe the independent league could be the way to go. Certainly, I think it's very nice for the communities. And obviously, Milwaukee's got is a major league community, but there are a lot of small towns that really appreciate their minor league teams, and I hate to see them lose those teams.
The Brewers, if they do have this, you know, 82-game season, it's where almost every game matters. The Brewers have been kind of playing that way for quite some time. Does something like this, there's kind of a belief, a little bit of a ripple on the pond effect, if you will, with some people in baseball that says, hey, this may benefit a team like the Milwaukee Brewers because of the way they utilize their players and have played the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, it's possible. They certainly have very good depth, which will be needed, as we'll have rosters of 30, and you know, we might have more attrition. Hopefully not through injuries, but the spring trainings are going to be short, so hopefully everybody's built up well enough to play. You know, in terms of 14 teams making it instead of 10, the Brewers have made it recently with 10. So, you know, and they're a good team. So I'm not sure if it benefits them or doesn't benefit them. I would say it benefits the team more in the middle than the Brewers. Brewers have been a good, really good team in the last few years. I think it would benefit, to me, the teams that are like 500 teams that could make it would be the Angels, the Reds, certain teams that you would say are average. Not to be negative, but not as good as the Brewers. I would say it would benefit those teams because they have a better chance to make the playoffs. And I would say it'd be a detriment to the teams that are basically assured of making the playoffs, whether you have 10 or 14, like the Yankees and the Dodgers. You know, if they play 82 and they have the gauntlet of an extra round of playoffs, I see that as a legitimate season. Still, I don't think we look back at the strike season of 1981 and say the Dodgers were less of a champion than anybody else. So, you know, to me, 14 is okay. If you had everybody making the playoffs or almost everybody like in the NBA or the NHL, to me, that's not baseball. But 14 I can live with, and I think it's fine if that's the way they go. And I think that is one of the things they're agreeing on is that they have the expanded playoffs with 14 teams. That and the DH. Other than that, they got a lot of work to do.
Real quick, John, before I let you go, when we talk about today's world, obviously with the protests and the marches and the word getting out about social injustice and such, we saw a statement come out today from the Milwaukee Brewers. Have many teams published statements? And I just because I think baseball has been somewhat quiet on this now, and baseball is probably, if I consider them one of the biggest melting pots because of all the different nationalities and skin colors that are involved in Major League Baseball. So to me, I've never looked at baseball quite that way. But as I start to sit back and look at all the different nationalities, the different players from all around the world, the different colors of players from all around the world, baseball has been somewhat quiet in a very loud time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do understand that. I think Commissioner Manfred made a statement that was distributed in-house and all the employees saw it, but perhaps they could be more vocal publicly about it. Certainly the NFL and the NBA have been making statements early on about this. You know, they have more minority players overall. I would agree with you. Baseball's a melting pot with people from all over, but there are more minority players in the NFL and the NBA, and good for them to step up. Of course, the NFL stepped up, and then everybody pointed out how they weren't responsive to Colin Kaepernick and how they basically blackballed him. So even though the NFL made a nice statement, people were reminded that they were hypocritical in doing so. I don't think baseball is gun-shy. I think it's more about the fact that they've been very busy trying to get the season going.
Right.
The stoppage occurred at a bad time for them. You can compliment the NHL and the NBA for getting going, but, you know, their seasons had basically been played and their salaries had been paid, and that made it a lot easier for them to work it out than MLB. MLB happened at the wrong time. But as I said, I do believe they'll figure out a way, although hard to see it right now because of the differences of opinion, which are very strong at the moment.
John, great to talk to you. Thanks for taking a little bit of time, cutting it out of your day and giving it to us. We certainly appreciate it. And hopefully the next time you and I talk, we're talking about games being played, okay?
All right. That sounds good. Always a pleasure to be on in Milwaukee.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. John Heyman, the Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. His calls are brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference podcast series. It's available at Radio.com/Dell. That's Radio.com/Dell. Good to talk to him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.